Boker Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shir Madaf Yomi. We are now at the beginning of the 12th parak of Masechet Yevamot, parak Mitzvat Chalitza, and we will, as per the page, begin on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, in the middle of the page, the beginning of the parak, and go until the Siman, the editor's note, in the middle of Kuf Bet Amud Aleph. Mitzvat Chalitza B'Shlosha Dainim, this first Mishnah on the page is Mishnah Aleph in the beginning of Mishnah Bet, which details some of the basic contours of the mitzvah of chalitza, the context, the proper vehicle as far as the shoe goes, and its size. Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim. The mitzvah of chalitza must be done with three dayanim present, ve'afilu shloshtan hedyotot, even if the three of them are commoners, which means they're not musmachim. They can still do it. So we're going to have to see why it mentions Dayanim if it's going to also allow for Hedyotot. Chatzam b'min'al. Now, min'al is a shoe with laces. If she does a min'al, chalitzatak shera, then it's a proper chalitza. We'll have to see whether this means that a min'al is ideal or whether it's only valid b'diavad. Anpilia is like a house slipper, chalitzatap psula, then it's invalid, and we will see why. The sandal sheishlo ekev, if it's a sandal that has some sort of a heel or a sole, then kasher, v'she'im lo ekev pasul. It has to be something, effectively, that is on the foot, and then has to be taken off. That's the act of chalitza, and we'll see that later on in the Gemara. Of course, just the interjection, I should have mentioned this at the beginning, the mitzvah of chalitza, as we've seen throughout the Masechet, is the mitzvah in which the yavam who rejects the Yivama, or in those circumstances where you have to give chalitza, like in the case of the Arba Achin, or in the case of Gusha Lekoin Gadol, Yenaman Lekoin Gadol, whatever, has to give chalitza, that's what's done. Now, min ha'arkuva ulamata, let's say somebody's an amputee. So if from the knee on down, meaning he has a stump below the knee and there's some sort of a shoe or something on there, then chalitza kshera, then it's a valid chalitza. Now, kuvah l'mala, but if he was amputated above the knee, then chalitza psula, and we'll have to see what can be done in that case, but that is not a valid chalitza. Chalitza b'sandal she'in shelo. Let's say that he didn't have a sandal. He had some sort of a house slipper, and so the dayan gave him his own sandal. It was the right size. It was not his sandal. That's fine. Oba sandal shalait. So let's say it was a wooden sandal. The norm is leather. Obishel small b'yamin, or if he had the left sandal on the right foot, chalitzak shera, these are all valid. Meaning you don't have to be the owner, and it doesn't have to be a particular material, and it doesn't have to be the right shoe for the right foot. Chatzah b'gadol sheyachol alech, well, this is already the beginning of Mishnah Bet. If she did the chalitza using, that he had on a shoe on that was bigger than his size, but he could still walk with it. Obikatan shechofet rov raglo, or it was too small for him, but it covered a majority of his foot, then chalitzatak shera. You can infer from there, of course, that if it's so big that you can't walk with it, or if it's so small that it doesn't cover the majority of the foot, then it's invalid. That is our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara says, "Miachard afilu shlosha hedyotot." Since the beginning, the Mishnah said that you need three dayanim, and it said they could even be hedyotot, dayanim lamali, so why mention three dayanim? Just say, mitzvah chalitza bishlosha. Leave it at that, and we know. So, hakamash malan, tebainin bishlosha shiodim hakrot kein dayanim. We need to have three people who have the expertise in the particular area of chalitza, like dayanim. In other words, not just three people who are standing there, sort of like we do for Atarat Nedarim, Shlosha Hedyotot, and you just present the issue, and it's a mutalach, etc., as we commonly do, but rather, it's they have to be three Hedyotot that, at least within the context of chalitza, they are experts like dayanim, and they know how to call the Yavam, and to discuss with him, and whether to advise him, and also how to instruct the people to declare Chalutz Hanal, Chalutz Hanal. Good. So now we'll see that this opinion of Tana Kama, which is three Dayanim, is not a unanimous opinion. Katanina Lahanatan Rabbanan. We have the following Brayta. Mitzvah Chalitza B'Shlosha Shiodin La'Krot Ke'en Dayanim. Fits exactly what we just said. Three, as long as they know how to conduct themselves with Chalitza, like Dayanim. If you don't remember Chamisha, but you don't disagree and says you need five. Now, my Tantana Kama, let's see why. If you look at the opening Pasuk, which is the few Pasukim Var Chalitza from the Parsha of Yibum on the page, Tanya, Zekenim, it says that she'll take a shoe off, La'ineha Zekenim, that's two. Zekenim, elders, plural, two. V'ein beit din shakul, you can't have an even beit din, you can never have an even beit din. This is the sugya at the beginning of Sanhedrin. Mosifin alehen or echad. So they add one more, you have three, ein kan shlosha, that's Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda, so why does Rabbi Yehuda say you need five? Ziknei shnayim, because in the pasuk before it says ziknei ha'ir, right? And then zikenim in the next pasuk, shnayim, so that's 2 plus 2 is 4. V'ein beit din shakul, you can't have an even number. Mosifin alehen or echad, that's 5. Harekan chamisha. Good. Now, v'tanakama hai ziknei ma'avilei. So what does Tanakama do with the other mention of zikenim, which he's ignoring as far as building up the numbers, so he must be interpreted some other way. He said it's there in order to expand and to say that even if you have three who are not dayanim, or not zikenim, as it were, but any three who are there, as long as they know what they're doing, may participate in this. And take a look at the pasuk again, just to clarify this drasha. In the second pasuk of the sugya, the karulo ziknei iro. But now, in the next pasuk, it should be v'nigshayivimto elav le'enehem. Why does it say le'ene hazakenim? So clearly, one of these is zakenim, is an extra mention. And so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says it's an extra mention to say ziknei is 2, plus zikenim is another 2, that's 4, plus 1 is 5. Tanakama says, no, ziknei is there to tell me I need 2, or zikenim is there to tell me I need 2. Why is ziknei? To tell me that as long as they are any elders, any people who know what they're doing, they are fit and they don't have to be dayanim. Good. So now Rehuda, who agrees that you could have hedyotot, so where is he going to learn that from? Hedyotot menale. He gets it from the word that says le'enei hazakenim. She has to take a shoe off in front of the eyes, as it were, in the presence of the zakenim. Why? How does he get hedyotot from that? Very interesting observation. Da'amar mar, le'enei prat l'sumim. Le'enei excludes a blind judge, because he has to actually see the shoe come off. And from the fact that the text had to go out of its way to exclude a blind judge, that proves to you that you could accept hedyotot. Why? Because if you think you need really mismuchim and you need a Sanhedrin, I don't have to exclude the blind. Why? Rav Yosef Nafka, because we already know that from the famous teaching of Yosef. Tathan Rav Yosef, just like the members of the Beit Din have to be above reproach as far as their corruptibility goes, they also have to be above reproach as far as any blemish goes. Right? Shenemar, the Pasuk, take a look at the second Pasuk on the page. The beautiful Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which is midrashically understood to be a reference to the Beit Din and the Sanhedrin, you have no blemish whatsoever. So the members of the Beit Din have to really be people without a mum, and being blind is a mum. So therefore, if the text has to tell me that we cannot have a blind judge for chalitza, that means that we must be able to accept non-Sanhedrin members, in other words, hedyotot, and so we see it from there. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, from la'enei, I already know that you could use hedyotot. So therefore, I have the extra ziknei to tell me 2 more judges. V'idach, so what are Rabbanan going to do with that? Ahu la'enei mayavilei, what are they going to do now with the word la'enei, which they don't need for hedyotot, because they got from ziknei. Hahula chedirava huda'ata. They say that's going to come to support the drasha that was later explicated by Rava. Tama Rava, tzrichi dayoni lemechzei ruka dekonafik mipuma diyavama. The dayonim have to see the spittle come out of the mouth of the yavama. They have to actually see it. Tichtiv le'enei azkenim. So le'enei here is not defining the zaken, but defining more what they have to observe. Good, so now Rabbi Huda is now going to have to account for that. V'idacham ba'ilei lechedirava. Rav Yehuda also needs le'enei not to tell me that they can't be blind, and therefore, by inference, to tell me that they could be hedyotot, but rather, he needs le'enei to tell me what they have to observe. And achinami, you're right, which means we've come up to a stone wall. We have to go back and figure out where Rav Yehuda gets hedyotot from. El hedyotot minale. How does he know hedyotot? Nafka mi bi Yisrael. Right, because it says in the pasuk, take a look at the pasuk, there's 2 psukim, that mention Yisrael, Hakim Lachiv Shem Yisrael, and Vinikra Shmo Yisrael, at the very end of the parsha. So because it says Yisrael, therefore we know that it can be any Israeli judges. Right? Yisrael called to who? And Vinikra Shmo Yisrael means his name will be declared Yisrael, meaning in the Beit Din. So any Yisrael. V'idach, so now what do Rabbanan do with that? Since Rabbanan used Ziknei to teach me Hedyotot, so Yisrael is now extra. It's interesting that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says this, and we'll see why a little bit later on in this year. He says, Davka b'Yisrael, it has to be Beitin Shal Yisrael v'lo Beitin Shal Gerim, meaning there is such a thing as a Beitin Shal Gerim. When members of the Beitin are Gerim, we have some Gerim who are very, very famous. Of course, from a chief among them, Rabbi Akiva, was a Ben Gerim. But you have a Beitin of people who cannot genealogically trace themselves back as members of Yisrael. And they may function, but they cannot function for the purpose of Chalitza, because it says b'Yisrael. The Idach, so now, Rabbi Yehuda, where is he going to infer that you need a Beitin Shal Yisrael? Be Yisrael Achrin Aktiv, because it says Yisrael twice in the Parsha. One of them for Hedyotot, and the other one for Beitin Shal Yisrael, v'lo Beitin Shal Gerim. V'idach, so now, how are Rabbanan, what are they going to do with the second Yisrael? He tells a story. Rabbi Yehuda says, one time we were in the presence of Rabbi Tarfon, Uva Yavama Lachlotz, and the Yavama came. By the way, this is just parenthetically, is a style that we see throughout Tanaitic literature and among the Amoraim also, is that the Beit Midrash and the Beit Din were really one. People would come for a case to be adjudicated in front of the Chacham, and the Talmidim would be sitting there, and sometimes they would participate, sometimes they wouldn't, depending, and that would then be a focus of discussion and of study. So a woman, a Yevama, came for Chalitza to Rabbi Tarfon. The Amal wrote to Rabbi Tarfon, say, Anu Kochem Chalutz Hanal. Rabbi Tarfon told all of us that we should declare after the Chalitza, Chalutz Hanal. Say those words. Right, the one with the shoe taken off. And he learns that V'nikrashmo B'Yisrael, meaning that B'Yisrael we have to declare. V'idach mi V'nikra Nafka. So Rabbi Yehuda learns that from V'nikra. So Rabbi Yehuda says as follows. V'nikra tells me that I have to declare Chalutz Hanal. B'Yisrael tells me Hedyotot. The other B'Yisrael is for Beit Din Shel Yisrael. Good. So Elamiatov, so if that's the case, then why don't I play with the same drasha? Elamiatov now is going back on the Zikenim and Ziknei. Why don't I go back and say, V'karu, they will declare, the Zikenim will call him and they'll talk to him, Shnayim. That's two. V'dibru, so because the Pasuk says, the Beit, the Zikenim call him, and then they talk to him. So and that's plural. So that means we already started with four. So now we have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, another four, that's eight plus one is nine. And according to Chachamim, we started with two, so we now have six, so we should have seven. So if you're going to say every time that there's a mention of members of the Beit Din, in the plural, that's another two, then V'karu and V'dibru should add another four. So Achanam Rabbi Yehuda, Harekan Tishal, Rabbanon Harekan Shiva, you should have either nine or seven, not five or three. So the answer is no. You know, this is challenging the original limud of saying Zekinim tells me two, or Zekinim and Zeknei Gel tells me four, and I have to add one in each case, so I end up with three or five. Why don't I just say, a Beitin is three, we know that from several other Mikorot, it's a sugya at the beginning of Sanhedrin, and that's what we need here. So the answer is that we stick with our original drasha, and these words we explain differently. Hom Ba'alech Natanim, V'karulo V'lo Shlucham. V'karulo doesn't tell me another two guys, but rather it means that the Dayanim themselves have to call and summon the choletz, and not through a messenger. They have to call him directly. V'dibru elav, what does v'dibru elav mean? Melamein sh'maseein lo etzau genedo. This we saw earlier in the Masechet. It teaches us that they talk to him, and they also give him advice. They don't just stand there as functionaries, as factota, if you will, who just put a rubber stamp on something. They actually talk to him and give him advice. Shemayahu yelad v'hizkenel. Let's say that this Yavam was 15, and the Yavama was 40. Huzaken v'yalda, or he was 60, and she was a young girl. Omrimlo, they say to him, Malacha etzel yalda, what are you doing with a young girl? Malacha etzel skena, what are you going to do with an old woman? Klach etzel shekamotcha, go marry somebody your own age. V'altachnis ktatab betoch betachan, don't do things that are going to lead to fighting in your household. In other words, v'dibru elav is not adding another two members, but it's telling us part of the pre-chalitza process, where it's not even pre-chalitza, they'll actually push chalitza, when it's the proper thing to do, given the family circumstance. Good. So now, that's as far as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. So to sum it up, Rabbanan say that the word Zekenim tells me I need two. I can't have an even number Beitin. Therefore, I have three. That's for Chalitza. The other Zekenim is there to tell me that I can use Hedyotot. The Pasuk that says V'nikrashmo B'Yisrael tells me that we have to use a Beitin Shal Yisrael. The other mention of Yisrael, the other one, V'nikrashmo B'Yisrael, is that I have to make the declaration in the Beitin. Rabbi Yehuda learns that from the word v'nikra, therefore he has an extra Yisrael to tell me Hedyotot, therefore he has an extra Zekinim to add two more, and he ends up with four plus one is five. the two words, v'karulo and v'dibure lav, everybody agrees, are not used to add more members to the Beit Din, but rather to tell me how they function. The first thing is v'karulo, they themselves have to summon him, not through an agent. And v'dibure lav means they actually have to talk to him beforehand to try to convince him about one way or the other, and in the two examples given here, that they would actually convince him towards chalitza. Good. Amar Avraham Nachman, halacha chalitza b'shlosha. So Nachman says the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, it's like Tanakama. We have three for chalitza. Why? Cholel v'satam l'antana kalate. Because the Tana, I mean Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the Mishnah that he gave us a stam Mishnah that said three. It's only a braita that we invoked that had the dissenting opinion. So I'm like Rav Nachman. So Rav now turned to Rav Nachman and said, Ihachi miunami. So if you're going to say that wherever the stam Mishnah gives us the number for a particular process in Beit Din, that's the halacha, then miun should also need three. Why? Did nine, the beginning of Sanhedrin, ha-miun v'chalitza b'shlosha. Miun is with three. Miun meaning when the 11-year-old girl, a 12-year-old girl says, I'm leaving this marriage, she wasn't married off by her father, but rather by brothers or her mother, she can leave. You need three. V'chitem achinamin, you're going to tell me that that's the halacha? V'hatan, you have a bright that says, miun b'chamer min Beit Din mumchin. So Chama says you need mumchin, but tell them beitin v'shalab beitin. It can be mumchin or not mumchin. Don't have to be experts; they can just be regular clerks. Elu ve'elu modim shtoich shlosha. They all agree you need three. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, machshirim mishnayim. They say you only need two because, after all, why is there a concern about having not having an even number? Because you might end up with a split vote. Miun, there's nothing to split. There's no vote. They just have to be present. Really, here is a rubber stamp to be present, so it's a ma'isa Beit Din. So they say you only need two. V'yamar Rav Yosef Ben Yumi Amar Rav Nachman, halacha kotu azug. So Rav Nachman himself said the halacha follows that pair. In other words, we have a stam Mishnah that says miyun is with three. And yet we have a dissenting opinion in a braita of two chachamim who say it's two. And Rav Nachman himself said that's the halacha. So you, Rav Nachman, Rav is saying, are telling me that the halacha of chalitza is three because that's the stam Mishnah, but you're being inconsistent because we have a stam Mishnah about miyun and you're ruling like a dissenting opinion in the Braita. So the answer is hatam chad stam v'hacha trei stami. Now we're going to play a little bit of a numbers game. In the case of miyun, there's one stam. That stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin, miyun b'shlosha. Here we have two stam because in that same Mishnah it said chalitza miyun b'shlosha plus our Mishnah that says chalitza b'shlosha. So you got two stams. Hatam nami trei stami ninhu. No, there's also two stams about miyun. Non miyana o shechalza befana visa enem neishu beveitin. Right, this is when a talking about in the second parak where a dayan who functions in the process of helping yibum cannot marry the yivama, but if she comes and does chalitzo miyun befanav, then it's then he can marry her. Why? Because he's not functioning as a personal thing. It's not like a chacham shitira taneda that we had, but rather when he's functioning as a Beit Din, then he can marry her. That's a whole sugya we're not going to go into now, but that's sugya in on Daf Chaf Hei. But why can he marry her if she does chalitza miyun in his presence? Mneishu kevet din, because he's considered like a Beit Din. In other words, it needs three. He's a member of a Beit Din of three, and therefore we're not concerned that it's his own personal negia that he's seeing things biased in order to be able to marry her because he's a member of Beit Din. But what do we see? We see another stam Mishnah where miyun and chalitza are three, which means miyun now has two stams and chalitza has three stams. So saying, where there's three stams, that's the halacha. Miyun, there's only two stams, plus there's a dissenting opinion. But now the numbers game is getting a little bit much. Alahatam trei stami, hacha plata stami. So mechte hastama hastama. Once I have stam, mali chad stam, mali trei stam, mali plata. What do I care if there's one, two, or three stams? Once Rebbe put a stam Mishnah down, either that becomes the rule or not the rule. So the numbers game doesn't help. Alamam nachmar yitzhak. This is the answer. Huil v'satam b'makom machloket. This is the reason that we paskin. Rav Nachman said we paskin like our Mishnah that mechalitza is with three and not with five, because he put a stam in reference to a machloket. What's the machloket? Our machloket. Rabbi Yehuda said five, but nine. Smichat zekinim ve'egla rufa b'shlosha. Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamisha. In the Mishnah in Sanhedrin it says that giving smicha and doing the ma'aseh egla rufa needs three. Rabbi Yosi says. Rabbi Yehuda says you need five. Hachalitza v'amiyunim b'shlosha. And it says chalitza miyun is a three. That's one of the Mishnah we just mentioned. V'loka polig Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda did not stand up and disagree and say, oh, there I also think it's five. He didn't speak up. Shramina hadar be Rabbi Yehuda, shramina. So what do we see from there? We see from there that Rabbi Yehuda, at some point later on in his life, changed his mind and agreed with the majority opinion that a chalitza and miyun really only need three. And that's why Rav Nachman Paskin like him. So now, effectively, Rav Nachman's statement is a little bit different. It's not that we rule the chalitzas with three because that's the stam. It's the chalitzas with three because now that's the unanimity now. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, was the one dissenting opinion, has changed his mind and acceded to the majority. Good. Now, I'm a Rava. Shrichi dayon on the mikvah duchta. The dayonim have to establish a particular place where they're doing the chalitza. Dichtiv, va'al ta'ivim to ashar al hazkinim. She has to come to the shar. The shar, in times of Tanakh, the gates of the city were where the judges sat. You see that prominently, of course, in Rut Dalad. But he's saying that they have to establish a particular place. And now we hear a little more about there seems to be a reason behind that. And the reason is, we are very, very concerned, as we've seen throughout the Masechet, that everyone should know that this woman got chalitza so that when she's marrying someone else, we don't think that a woman whose husband died and left her childless and their brothers can just go marry somebody else without being released. We want to make sure everybody knows that she is a chalitza, also she should wear a coin. And so one of the points is that there's a particular spot for it. Now, Papa Rav Huna Beredi Rav Yeshua Avdi Uvda B'chamisha. So these fourth generation Amoraim and Bavel made a point of having chalitza done and having five dayonim. Keman, Rabbi Yehuda, with the Paschal of Rabbi Yehuda, Vahadarbe, we just said Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. So the first Sumer Milta, actually it was not like Rabbi Yehuda, but rather they wanted to make it more public and have more dayonim there, make more of a big deal. It was, ooh, there were five dayonim there, well, what happened? This girl got chalitza, and everybody knows. Havashi Ikla Avei Rav Kahana. So Rashi came to Rav Kahana's Bismedrish, or his house. He said, come up here and join us so we can be five for chalitza. I'm Rav Kahana, Havi Kaimna Kamed Rav Yehuda, and Rav Kahana himself testifies, I was in front of Rav Yehuda, Vamarli, toss sak lazir zadekani, go get a bundle of reeds to sit on, litzterufa bechamisha, so we can get five people together. A place for them to sit. But in other words, Rav Kahana himself was calling Rav Ashi to come in and make five, because he says, I remember when I was younger being in Rav Yehuda's house, and he insisted on having five. Again, Amrulo Lamali Chamisha, so they said to Rav Yehuda, why do you need five? This is Rav Yehuda. Amrulahu Keichlet Farsim Milta, to publicize it. In other words, nobody is ever suggesting that we rule like Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, and that we halachically need five for Chalitza, because first of all, even Rabbi Yehuda Tana himself, in the end, said you need three, but they would all make a deal of having five so that it would become a piece of public knowledge. Now, remember I mentioned earlier that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, that Yehuda may be Yehuda Hindua. It's not Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda, the famous Amora, and you'll see why in a minute. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was the one who made the drasha that Be Yisrael means that Bebeitin Shel Yisrael below Bebeitin Shel Gerim. Why is that interesting? Because of the following. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Havei Kai Kamei Rav Yehuda. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was standing in front of Rav Yehuda. That's Rav Yehuda Ben Yechezkel, the famous Amora, the student of Rav and Shmuel. Amarle. So Rav Yehuda said to him, Sak Toal Zir Sadekani, bring this bundle of reeds. So five, you can get some other guys and we'll have five Dayonim. Lefersume Milta, right, to publicize the Chalitza. Amarlei Tanin to be Yisrael, but Veitin Shul Yisrael, but Veitin Shul Gerim. Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Yehuda said, I can't join you, because the famous Braita that Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Yehuda himself quoted was that the be Yisrael means it has to be a Veitin Yisrael and not Veitin Shul Gerim. Va'ana Ger Ana, I am a Ger. Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Yehuda himself was a Ger. His father's name is Yehuda, which means his father was also a Ger. He and his father converted together. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, and going to Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda then commented, what an honest man, what a wonderful man. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda is an example of somebody, Mafikna Mamona Apume. We will actually take money from one person and give it to another person based just on his testimony. In other words, if he comes and says, yes, he owes him money, he is so trustworthy, we'll do it. Mafikna Tzakadaitach, you think we'd actually do that? Vapishnaim Edim Omarachmana. The Torah said you need two Edim for any financial movement in any direction. What it means, of course, we won't take money from one owner and give it to another person based on any individual's words, but this man is so honest and so incorruptible and so trustworthy that if he says that shtar was already paid off, we won't collect with it anymore. In other words, we will put a deficit into the shtar or a black mark on that shtar and not use it anymore. Good. Amar Rava, Ger Donat Chaveru Dvar Torah. It's an observation. A ger can judge another ger, mida oraita. How do I know? Shinamar, take a look at Pasuk 3. Som tasim alacha melech asher yivchar Adonai lecha bo, mikera vachecha tasim alacha melech, lo tuchal tait alacha ish tochri asher lo achichahu. Right, that you may, you, when you appoint somebody over yourselves, it has to be from among your brothers and not a foreigner. And what does that mean? So that includes a ger as a foreigner. So alacha udabayin mikera vachecha, it's only when it's over all of you, meaning over you as Yisrael, that you need to have another Yisrael. But if you have, let's say, a community of gerim, so gerim can also be their judges because they're not alacha. If in my time, O Yisrael, let's say that this ger was himself not a ger, his mother's Jewish, but his father was not Jewish or his father converted, dan afil Yisrael, then he can be part of a beitin afil of Yisrael. However, uleinan chalitza ad sheyavivim O Yisrael, but as far as being a dayan for chalitza, he has to have both parents be Yisrael. Of course, they themselves could have converted, but they have to be Yisrael. Shenemar, actually that's a little bit unclear, Shenemar v'nikra shmo be Yisrael, because of the drush that we already had before, the chalitza needs to have beitin shel Yisrael, meaning people who are really mi Yisrael. Now we go to the second part of the Mishnah. The first part talked about the dayanim and how many there are. In the Gemara, we saw the machloket, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. We saw the different reasons why for their approaches based on the psukim. We then saw that Rabbi Yehuda eventually reverted and accepted the opinion of three. We then saw that nonetheless the Amoraim insisted on having five to publicize it. And we saw this particular thing about Beit Din Shogerim. Now we go to the second clause in the Mishnah, which talks about a min'al versus a sandal. So Rav said something about this, about even if Eliyahu would come and say something about a min'al, but what did he say? We have two versions. Rabba says that Rav said, if Eliyahu would come and say, you can use a min'al, shomin lo, we would listen to him. Ein chotzin besandal, if he would say, you can't use a sandal, ein shomin lo, we wouldn't listen to him. Why not go on besandal? Because that's our tradition, we all use a sandal. Even if Eliyahu tries to come and say it's no good, doesn't matter. Rav Yosef from Rav Kahn, Rav Yosef now had a different take. Amar Rav, Im Yavoi Eliyahu v'yomar, Ein chotzin min'al. If Eliyahu would come and say, you cannot use a min'al, shomin lo, we would listen, we would stop using it. Ein chotzin besandal, ein shomin lo. Nishkoran go on besandal. But if he said, you can't use a sandal, then we would not listen to him, because that has already been the custom to use a sandal. Now, notice what the difference is. Everybody here agrees, and it's both versions agree, that the statement was, even if Eliyahu would come and say, you cannot use a sandal, we wouldn't listen to him. The only question is, what did Eliyahu theoretically say about the min'al? Did he say consistent thing, which is saying you can't use this and you can't use that, and in one case you would listen, in the other case you wouldn't listen? Or did he say that chotzim b'min'al, and then ein chotzim b'sandal, and then we have to see what those statements have in common with each other. But that we're going to see right away. Now, my benai, what's the practical difference between Rav Yosef and Rabba as far as their transmission of what Rav said? Ike benai min alachatchila. Whether it, you can use a min'al l'chatchila, because Rabba, in Rabba's version, we said if Eliyahu came and said, you can use a min'al, we would listen to him. Mashma, that we don't use a min'al unless we got that information. Rav Yosef said that if he came and said, we don't use a min'al, we would stop, meaning that right now we use it, but if we said not to do it, then we wouldn't do it. Now, Ulaman da'amar afilu l'chatchila, so according to the man da'amar, which is Rav Yosef, who says l'chatchila, you can use a sandal, na'a min'al, but non chatzab minal chilitzatak shera. I mentioned this when we studied the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if she used the minal, it's kasher. That in the implication is b'diavad. Diavad in lechatchila lo. If she used the minal, it's okay. So now, who adin afil lechatchila? No, the answer is no. It's even if lechatchila. V'adir bar l'mitni seifa ban pilia chilitzatap psula. Because in the second clause it says if you use the house slipper, the anpilia, it's pasul. That's b'diavad pasul. Taranami reisha diavad. So the reisha is also diavad if used in min'al kasher. But the Tana who said, the Amora who says that the chatchila you can use in min'al would say, even the chatchila you could use it, but they couched it in diavad terms, parallel construction with the seifa. Now, min'al chatchila tanoihi. It's actually a machloka tanaim whether you can use a min'al. The Tana of Yossi, pamachat halach to the Nitzivin. I went to Nitzivin, which is in Turkey. Matzati zaken achad. Nitzivin, of course, is the famous city of the Bnei Batera. I found an elder, Amarti lo, kluma tabakib Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitera. I asked him, do you know Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitera? Amarli, hain, Rav Shulchani Utadir, he's always at my table. I know him well. Klum raita shachalatz viyavama, so I asked him, did you ever see him do chalitza? Amarli, oversee chalitza? אמר לי, ראיתי שחלץ הרבה פעמים, עשה מני חליצות. במנהל או בסנדל, שרבי יוסי אסטן, did he use a מנהל or a סנדל? אמר לי, וכי חוצין מנהל? Would he use a מנהל? In other words, the notion is that you can't use a מנהל. So you see, אמרתי לו, אם כן, מה ראה רב מאיר לומר, חלצה במנהל חליצתה כשרה, רבי קירי אומר משמו, חוצין מנהל לכתחילה. So Rabbi Yossi then turned to this Zaken and said, so if a Minal is so out of bounds that you're asking me how could you use a Minal, why did Rabbi Meir say it's kosher? And Rabbi Yaakov, quoting Rabbi Meir, said even the Chathchila you can use it, which is our interpretation now to support Rabbi Yosef. So that's the question. Umandam al Chathchila lo my time. So what's the reason for the approach in Tzivin of not using a Minal? Ila mishum dahavim panta me'al. The arkata me'al de me'al. If it's because the panta, which is the piece of leather on top of the shoe, with a tongue is sort of, is called me'al raglo, and arkata, which could be read also with an iron, arkata, the shoestring, is me'al de me'al, it's like above and above, so when she takes out the shoestring, she's not taking the na'al me'al raglo, but me'al me'al, atorma me'al, v'lo me'al de me'al, you have to take it from on top of his foot, and not on top of his foot, is that's the reason? So yach, if the diavad namilo, then it shouldn't work with diavad either. Everybody agrees that me'al b'diavad is good. So the answer is gzera mishum minal merupat. It's a gzera, precaution against using a torn up shoe. Hinam mishum chatzi minal, or because of a situation where you have half a shoe. Meaning, in those cases, the chalitz is really invalid because chalitz has to be a circumstance where she's pulling it off the foot where it's held on. And therefore, if it's a torn up shoe where all she has to do is just touch it and it falls off, or it's half a shoe, in those cases, not really good at all. And therefore, a minal is a gzera because of chatzi minal and minal merupat. Why don't you make such a gzera against a sandal, which would mean, by the way, you have nothing left to use? Because a sandal, if it's half there or if it's torn up, it won't sit on the foot at all. But a minal could, and therefore we would use it, and it would be invalid. Good. Amar Ravi, lav dechamite lechavivi. If it were not for the fact that I saw my beloved one, he's referring to his uncle Rav Chia, techalatz besandal dit leshinsin, that I saw him overseeing a chalitza with a shoe and a sandal that had strings or straps. Ana lo havi chalitza el basandal adataya. I would not ever do chalitza except with a sandal worn like by Arabs, the mihadek tfei, that's very, very tight on the foot as is. That's the only thing I would use. But I saw my uncle Rav Chia use these kind of things, so I'll use them now. V'haydi na v'gav di'ipe chumratai, and our kind of sandals, even though they have a tie on them, katrinan be'mitna, we still tie another tie on them so that it's really tight, ki hechad etayavi chalitza tamalaita, so that when she takes the shoe off, she's really loosening something that's tight on his foot. And that seems to be the basic principle. We will pick up in the next podcast, Tamir Tzashem, from this point and continue with much of the details of chalitza, including details about the particular shoe and about how tight it has to be. Everyone should have a wonderful day.